Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Financial planning can be overwhelming, regardless of market conditions. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning and tax minimization strategies. Protect your family and future generations without sacrificing our shared principles of hard work and American independence. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yes, Whoopi Goldberg, a.k.a. Karen Johnson, lying about being denied service at a bakery in Staten Island, trying to ruin their business, and it's a total lie. Will ABC, Disney, China deal with it? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Big story of this fourth and final hour for you is brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria. He's got two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Make your appointment today to get a free implant consultation, venariadental.com. Here is some audio for you. It's Holterman's Bakery in Staten Island. They're going to be suing Whoopi Goldberg and ABC Network because Whoopi lied that the bakery refused her service because of her political beliefs. So here's clip number one. This is Whoopi on The View lying about this bakery. Let's begin there. Take a listen.
Welcome back. My birthday dessert today was one of my mom's favorites from when she was a kid. And she talked about these all the time. They're called Charlotte Russe. And it's a sponge cake with whipped cream and a cherry on top. Now, I should tell you, Charlotte Russe has no political leanings. And the place that made these refused to make them for me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What? Oh,
no. No. Let me explain. They said that their ovens had gone down, all kinds of stuff, but folks went and got them anyway, which is why I'm not telling you who made them. But it can't be because I'm a woman, but perhaps they did not like my politics.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because you know what? Listen, this is my mother's celebration.
Yes.
Pick these up and celebrate with me and my mom. Thank you, everyone, for celebrating my birthday today. I want you all to have...
All right, so that's what she said. Here's the press conference from the bakery as they announced they're going to sue Karen Johnson, a.k.a. Whoopi Goldberg. And by the way, yes, Whoopi pies, Amish-made treat. She can always try to get those. But anyway, here's the bakery defending what happened here and explaining the truth. Take a listen.
That I have to tell you, I'm so overwhelmed by the support between finding out yesterday this even happened, getting phone calls, and then people coming in, people from all over just supporting us in every way. We had phone calls yesterday from Alabama. Guys, I'm going to give you $50. Send it to a school. Send them donuts. Send them cupcakes. The support has been so overwhelming, and I know how hard my family has worked to keep this business alive. And I wish
this
my father was here today to see this. He would never believe it. My bakers come in 2 or 3 in the morning just to have donuts and rolls for everybody to come in and say, we have the best rolls ever. And you know what? It took my whole family. It takes everybody, the community that comes every day to see us. We have this everyday conversation with everybody. How's the family? How's this? This is what makes Holterman's Holterman's. It's the community. It's my fellow everything that come out and us giving back to the community that makes this go round. And if it wasn't for you and Staten Island to make this work, we still wouldn't be here today. So I know my brother, Billy, work hard. Joe, my baker in the back, is here 6 days a week. He gives his heart and soul to this place. And you know what? My father always said, you do what you love. I'm telling you, this is my heart. And I thank you so much for everybody come out and support us with the Holterman family. It means the world to me. It really
good. So good. The goodness prevails. And just a little background for those who know, they had a boiler here. Again, it's been here 145 years. They had a boiler that was 60 or 70 years old. And the first week in November, guess what? It went on the fritz. They had to be replaced. And the reputation of Holtermann's is impeccable. So rather than commit to something they couldn't guarantee, they said, we can't do it. And the person who besmirched and defamed them took that as an insult to her. Well, get over it. This family will be here for, God willing, another 145 years. And as Jill said, it's her family. It's the Staten Island community. It's the elected officials. And I hope if you're watching this across the country, go online and order something.
Good for them. Good for them for speaking out. I love it. And Fox News covered it as well on the 5 today. I saw that. Whoopi's a disgrace. Democrats are openly rejecting the Democratic results of the election, and they're forming a shadow government to work against the will of the American voters. This is Willie Nickel of North Carolina openly advocating for the establishment of a Democrat-led shadow government working behind the scenes to undermine Donald Trump's policies. Cut number 6.
If Trump attempts to weaponize the justice system against his political opponents with Matt Gaetz at the helm, we could see incoming Senator Adam Schiff as our shadow attorney general, arguing against replacing our independent prosecutors with Trump loyalists. If Trump seeks to eliminate the Department of Education, Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, a former Teacher of the Year, could step up as shadow education secretary to loudly defend public education in the United States. If Trump orders Marco Rubio to hand Ukraine and much of Eastern Europe to Russian President Vladimir Putin, Congressman Greg Meeks, as Shadow Secretary of State, could be a strong voice in support of maintaining international relationships and protecting democracy at home and abroad. Senator Michael Bennet as Shadow Treasury Secretary, and Congresswoman Susan DelBene as Shadow Commerce Secretary could help ensure the middle class and small businesses have a voice in government and call out Trump's proposed tax cuts for billionaires and corporations. As Shadow Defense Secretary, Congressman Adam Smith, a great representative for the people of Washington and not a Fox News host, could counter Trump's threat to use military force against his political opponents and work to ensure that the Department of Defense stays loyal to the Constitution and not some wannabe dictator. And Senator Tammy Duckworth could argue against cuts to the Department of Veterans Affairs that would delay the benefits and care our service members have so rightly earned. If Trump hands over the EPA to big oil ally Lee Zeldin, we could see Congresswoman Kathy Castor pushing back for environmental protection and conservation to protect the air we breathe and the water we drink. And if Trump pushes to ban abortion nationwide, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro could step in as Shadow Secretary of Health and Human Services to defend women's right to choose and argue against the gutting of Medicare by Trump and his cronies. Mr. Speaker, new times require new solutions. The shadow cabinet isn't just about opposing extreme MAGA attacks on our government. It's also about making clear what we stand for, not just what we're against.
A shadow government. You imagine if Republicans had come out with that during Biden's administration, a shadow government. You won't even hear that in the corporate media. You won't even hear coverage of that. Cash Patel, who is rumored to be the incoming FBI director. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. People would love to see it, that's for sure. But he talks about what he would do. He told Stinchfield Tonight back in August that if he were in charge, he would shut down the FBI headquarters in Washington. Cut 14.
What do you do about the FBI? What does President Trump, or what should he do about the FBI when he gets into office? Because I gotta believe these agents, many of them are dug in deep.
Look, one of my biggest personal recommendations is you shut down the FBI headquarters building and open it up the next day as the Museum of the Deep State. And you send those 7,000 agents in the headquarters building downrange to chase down rapists, to chase down murderers, to chase down drug traffickers, and let the cops be cops on the streets across America. You keep a small contingent in Washington, D.C. That's step one. You get rid of half of the legion of lawyers and special counsels that exist within the FBI to do one thing, to corrupt and obstruct obstruct government oversight from constitutionally applicable committees in Congress. And another aspect of it, real quick, is one of the biggest institutions in the FBI that has been troubled and politicized and weaponized has been their intel component. We have an intel agency. I don't need it to be redone within the walls of the FBI. We've shown when we've given them that power what they do to it. They unlawfully surveil a president and his candidates. So those are three quick things that we could rattle off that would be my recommendation to reform the FBI. There's many more.
I'd love it. Peter Thiel talked about Trump's win, how it exploded the lie of identity politics. Former CEO of PayPal, Peter Thiel spoke with Barry Weiss, formerly of The New York Times, about this. And I think this is echoing a lot of what Justine Bateman has been saying, what we've been saying, and the nonsense of the left, their lies about all this. Cut 17.
So for Trump to be able to win in 2024 and by a much more significant margin, at least in the popular vote, than in 2016, it means you had to change the minds of millions of people. If you believe that demographics destiny or identity politics means that people cannot listen to reason and it's all subject to these sub-rational factors like your race or your gender or your sexual orientation or something like this, then nobody would ever be able to change their mind. Mm-hmm. You exploded the lie of identity politics that, your identity matters more than the argument or the case. And Trump made an argument. J.D. Vance made an argument. They made a strong case. And I think there was no argument on the Democratic side. It was free of substance, free of ideas. You know, people say that that Harris struggled in saying how she was different from Biden, how she was substantively different from Biden. But, you know, that's too narrow a way of putting it. She had nothing to say of substance on anything.
That's right. She didn't. And it was all identity politics. And Trump is Hitler. Orange Man bad. I told you it was a bad Hillary Clinton 2016 cover band is what it was. That's what we watched. The Hillary Clinton campaign cover band. That's what Kamala Harris's campaign was. Here's Bill Ackman, the guy who's made a boatload of cash. Very smart guy when it comes to the economy. We're talking with Megyn Kelly about how we're going to have an economic boom coming up under Donald Trump because of all the people who will be freed up working in government. Cut 18.
Management teams of their businesses are extremely optimistic. Even those that have voted against Trump are excited about what's going to happen with the economy. So I think we're going to have a big economic boom. And actually freeing up a meaningful number of government employees to make them available to the private sector will actually help manage the potential for inflation. So the cost cutting is one thing, but making the government more efficient on regulatory approvals, you think about how difficult it is in America to build a bridge, a highway, a house. The faster, if you can accelerate construction, obviously that has a huge impact on infrastructure, the fluidity of the economy, driving demand, and actually I think freeing up government workers to step into some of these roles that will be created will actually help the economy manage through this period.
It could really change their lives too for the better. It'd be so exciting to work for one of these innovative companies, hiring new blood. These people have been stuck in these concrete jungles in the circles of DC, and maybe it's a new leaf for them too. You wrote in that ex post to which I referred, and you mentioned that merger and acquisition activity is about to explode. Do you think so?
Yes. So the Biden administration has been and Lena Khan, who led the FTC, very anti sort of merger, and the result of that is many of the startups in our country don't get to a scale where they can go public. They have to be basically sold. And if you don't allow the Facebooks and the Googles and the other companies to make acquisitions, these businesses eventually either run out of capital or run out of opportunity. And there are a lot of big companies where meaningful synergies can be created when one business buys another. But if you can't do a deal, you have to sort of put it on hold. And sort of the antitrust environment in the last 4 years was one in which you wouldn't even try to do a transaction. I think that's going to change. And so there's sort of a long list of transactions. We've talked
a lot about antitrust over the years on this show with Robert Bork Jr., for example. And yeah, that environment is going to change, and it's going to spur the economy. It's going to be wonderful. Speaker Mike Johnson came out a short time ago and said that the ethics report on Matt Gaetz should not be released. It kind of echoes what Jim Jordan said earlier today as well. Look, there's nothing about underage girls here. That's a lie. That's nonsense. Whatever Matt Gaetz in his personal life does, I don't think it has any bearing on him being the Attorney General of the United States of America. But here's what Speaker Johnson had to say about it a short time ago. Take a listen.
I don't know anything about the investigation. The Speaker of the House is not involved in those things. I am reacting to media reports that a report is apparently in some draft form and was going to be released on what is now a former member of the House. I do not believe that that is an appropriate thing. It doesn't follow our rules and traditions, and there is a reason for that. It would open a Pandora's box.
Jim Jordan echoing the same exact thing about that when he was speaking today with Fox News, or last night with Laura Ingraham. Cut number 10.
And Congressman Jordan, do you have any sense about what will happen with that House ethics report that was supposed to come out Friday? Remember, Gaetz had been accused of things and no prosecution had been continued. It had been dropped. But Dick Durbin's trying to get his hands on that report, obviously, to leak it out to hurt President Trump. What is your sense on that?
Well, it's my understanding that is not supposed to go public. So if it's not supposed to under the rules, it shouldn't go public. And what I know about Matt Gaetz is one of the best members we had on our committee. In my time in Congress, which has been a while, I don't know, there are very few people who have the cross-examination skills he does. And I want someone in the Justice Department who's not going to say moms and dads at school board meeting needs to be investigated. I want someone at the Justice Department who's going to say it's wrong for the FBI to do a memorandum and say that pro-life Catholics are extremists. I want someone at the Justice Department who can tell us who planted the pipe bombs on January 6th, who leaked the Dobbs opinion, who put cocaine at the White House instead of all the other stuff they seem to be focused on.
Yeah, well said. And by the way, if there was cocaine at the White House, I'm sure Matt Gaetz would enjoy using it. I'm just kidding. All right, listen, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey is a great place to go. And Cape May is beautiful in the fall. Great news. The Grand Hotel in Cape May has so many wonderful packages and special theme weekends this fall that will help you make memories that will last a lifetime. Hey, mark your calendar now. Before you know it, it's going to be December 20th. And that's our next live show at the Grand Hotel. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun. And when you stay multiple nights, you will receive resort credits that can be used at Hemingway's for food and drink or at the gift shop. And check out their Grand Escape weekends, and it's never too early to think about Thanksgiving break. The family will love an ocean holiday Thanksgiving. While Hemingway's is doing the cooking and the cleaning, you and the family can use the gigantic indoor heated swimming pool and actually enjoy Thanksgiving break. The Grand is the perfect place for you and your spouse or the entire family. So whatever your travel wishes this fall, the Grand has specials and incentives to fit all your travel desires. You will not be disappointed. Book direct with them for the best rates. Always do that by calling 800-257-8550 or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. grandhotelcapemay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Allsperity Private Wealth. Your retirement dreams can become reality if you have a plan. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. We provide custom solutions to help you navigate through your finances today while helping you build a strong financial portfolio for tomorrow. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Big fight night in America tonight. America. All right, so what's the bet, Justin? You going with Iron Mike?
Iron Mike.
What round?
I want to believe
It's going to be a knockout in the sixth round.
Sixth round knockout for Iron Mike. All right, Matt DeSantis, what are you saying?
I don't think there's going to be a knockout. I just think Paul wins.
You're going with Paul?
Yeah.
Jake Paul? All right.
He's too old. He's just too old.
Oh, would you stop being an ageist?
He might be old, but he's still Mike Tyson.
He could kill you. Exactly. Right. Exactly. He might be older than him, but he's older than you. He'd kill you with his fingers, pinky. Break you in half. See, DeSantis tried to take a left hook from Iron Mike, Justin. What do you think?
He would obliterate into atoms.
Oh, my God.
I'll say it right here on air. If Mike Tyson wants to tussle, let's do it. I saw Jake Paul had a $40 million purse. I'll take half that.
Yeah, and you'd
just
be dead.
Give me a call.
And just make sure you leave us in the will, okay? Because you'd be gone. I got a very special interview coming up with a veteran. We're going to talk about veterans affairs, adoption. It's going to be really nice. I'm excited for it. But I want to tell you, listen, DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro is what you need. A 3-in-1 privacy subscription service that helps protect your personal info from being exploited by hackers, scammers, and privacy invasive companies. Listen, this is going to battle the hackers, battle the scammers, give you the protection you need out there. Because let's face it, the internet is crazy right now. There's all kinds of people trying to spy on you. Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo includes the DuckDuckGo VPN. Forget the other VPNs out there. They're low energy. This is the real deal. Personal information removal and identity theft restoration. Three features for the price of one. And listen, you get a 7-day trial. Just by going to duckduckgo.com/1210, then it's only $10 a month for that kind of peace of mind. You need it in this day and age. I refuse to be out there on the wild world, wild west web without it. So make sure you get it for yourself. Duckduckgo.com/1210. Privacy Pro, Essential, VPN, Personal Identity Theft Restoration, and Privacy, personal data removal. This is what you need for $10 a month. You can't beat it. DuckDuckGo.com/1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, this is a great story. And since it is Veterans Week, I'm going to consider it Veterans Week and not just Veterans Day. We'll make it a whole month to honor our veterans. There's a veteran who wrote a book. And it's near and dear to my heart because it also deals with adoption. It's called Special Warfare, An Adoption Story. Doug Vanderford and Elena Lee are the authors. And Doug is a former elite Navy Special Warfare combatant craft crewman known for inserting and extracting Navy SEALs from classified destinations around the globe. Doug was adopted as an infant, spent much of his life searching for purpose. And you can join Doug as he learns the meaning of life and family and creating purpose regardless of upbringing. And he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Doug, first of all, thank you for your service, my friend, and congratulations on writing this book and your story. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Rich, for having me. It's a pleasure. Looking to getting into this, and my hope is it motivates others. So really appreciate the time.
So first of all, tell us, you begin the book by saying who we are. Special Warfare Combat Crewmen, SWCC. So who are you guys?
Yeah, roger that. We're the redheaded bastard children to Naval Special Warfare, right? Whether you need to edit that or not. Everybody knows the Golden Trident, right? The Golden Eagle, otherwise known as SEALs, my brothers from other mothers. So WARCOM. SOCOM, the operators are Navy SEALs and SWCC. Our primary jobs is to take our crafts, put them on the back of usually a big bird, push them out, and then insert and extract all kinds of SF or SOFs type operators. So I did that exclusively in the Navy for a period of time, and I'd go back and do it again if they take me.
Really? That's pretty awesome to hear. I mean, you guys are badasses, basically. Definitely badasses. And was this something you always wanted to do? Was this a lifetime goal for you?
No, frankly. So I can dovetail off that a bit. I grew up in a military household. My father was a fighter pilot in the Air Force with multiple wings, inclusive of an element to the F-4 Phantom. He retired as a lieutenant colonel. So I was dependent. I grew up in it. So I was immersed in the militaristic lifestyle, the moves, the bases, the yankings, the deployments. And I didn't find my path to raising my hand and enlisting in the Navy till I was 26. Ironically, the same age without knowing this till later in life, that my father, as he went in the Air Force. So it was always there. Went out in the real world for a while and felt like I needed to do more for self. Needed a bit more discipline, even though, to my knowledge, didn't have many engagements with the law. But yeah, just there was always this burning purpose of just something bigger than self. And what a better way to, 26, raise your hand and go enlist, leave Florida in February and arrive in Chicago, where it was like 7 degrees and board shorts and a t-shirt. So yeah, man, that's kind of the high level of it.
Now, what I love about there's a lot of things I love about this book, and it's also a quick read too, which I particularly appreciate with my attention span. But having I have three kids, obviously, as you know, and two of them were adopted. Patrick and Claire came to us through adoption, and you write as you acknowledge the book, you say adoption involves multiple factors. My experience was fortunate, acquired by the only parents I have ever known, Charles and Diane Vanderford. Thank you. You also say thank you to my biological mother, father, brothers and sisters I may or may not have. Now, when you say my father, you're obviously speaking then about your father, Charles Vanderford, the one and only that you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. You know, as an adoptive parent, as an adoptive dad myself, I mean, that means a lot for me to hear your story, because, first of all, we always hope that our children will always think of us as their parents. I mean, that's the number one thing. And, you know, they make you go to adoption school before you can adopt. You have to learn. You have to get certified. And, you know, they use the correct terms of birth parents and, you know, adoptive parents. But we're the parents. And they always say that, too, in the class. You know, you're the parents. You're the one raising these kids. And they're going to look to you as their mom and dad. And that's special. And, you know, to know that, because there are a lot of people I know who are thinking about adopting or who have reached out to me over the years about adopting. And one of the first things they always ask me is, you know, will my kid think of me as their mom or dad? And I say yes. And you clearly say yes, too.
Yeah. Great points. Multiple spectrum. I want to circle back. I've got to give credit to Elena Lee. She was my motivator to write this. I never thought that I would have an opportunity to write a book, nor I thought it would come to fruition. She started it. And again, I want to put a plug in for her as a colleague of mine. She discussed her adoption story as she was adopted from Russia after living in many different orphanages from Russia. She spoke zero English coming to this country and now has several master's degrees and works on classified programs within the organization I'm with. She motivated me, even younger in age and experience. So I'm glad you said the quick read, because, again, the demographic was, it's a children's book, right? Mm-hmm. We really wanted to hit, in my mind, a market around 11 to 14 with a couple of different undertones of serving country, right? That's why we discussed the military in there as well. I think we're waning from that, right? We're moving away from that until we have, I hope we don't have another conflict like 9/11, but that's typically when you get a bunch of sympathizers and empathizers. They want to go do more. I think we can all do our part to serve our country in some fashion. But again, Elena Lee was a motivator for that. And again, in that number two, please check out her publication, because it truly is about the kids and what you alluded to, Rich, and that conversation piece. What I'm grateful for and looking back in my childhood is I always knew from my parents in some wording or understanding, I was adopted, whether it was special, there wasn't. So the opposite of that would be, I didn't turn 16 and, oh, by the way, you're adopted. It was always presented in our household as far back as I can remember and interpret as just discussing, yeah, you're different. You're special. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, dovetails into the military humor. You know, when I would do something out of line, my dad said, hey man, I wrote a check for you. I can go look for that check. Right. And again, just that officer pilot mindset, which turned into mine with, you know, the teams, especially about team 20, right. That's what carried us. But to you and I get reached out, you know, quite regularly. This, you know, I'm thinking myself as pretty personal with my family. We're all involved in this book venture and mom bringing out dozens of pictures and involving dad. Before his passing, he got to view this, and it just meant so much to me. But I just hope it continues the conversation, that it's not a faux pas or not a, it doesn't have to be an odd conversation of adoption. with kids. And I am grateful that I can look back and say that I've always known that I was. I may not have completely understood it, but as age progressed and more questions were answered, mom and dad, in my mind, were always very transparent on that topic.
I think that what you just said, and Doug Vanderford's with me. His book is Special Warfare, an Adoption Story. He's a true hero and a veteran. We appreciate his service to our country, and this is a really important topic near and dear to my heart. So, you know, we approach it the same way, and that was the advice we got when we were adopting as well, which is to just make it part of their story. Don't drop a bombshell on them later in life. And that's, you know, as Patrick has gotten older, and we have a sign in his room, you know, Superman was adopted. We've always had it in there, and we've always read adoption stories to them. And then one day, Bridget and I said, "All right, you know, he had just turned 9." We said, "We really ought to take him out to dinner and talk about this more, and make sure you know answer any questions he has." And he just turned 10, and I want to actually officially apologize to you because you reached out to me when you first published the book a couple years ago, and I meant to have you on, and then you know life gets distracted, so we moved, and we had a bunch of books in storage, and I was pulling out the books, and I found your book, and I said, "Oh man, you know, I got it. My son is a voracious reader. He's going to love this." So I put it on his nightstand, and without even, you know, encouraging him to do it, he read the whole thing and he loved it. And he came to me and he said, "Dad, this story really was a great story. I loved it. I loved all the pictures too. You got some great pictures of naval aircraft and boats in here." And I said, "Oh, I got to get Doug on the show and talk about this book." So I'm glad, you know, I was able to reconnect with you after all this time. But I would just say this as a parent who's whether your kids are, you know, came to you by adoption or not. I mean, there's a lot of great lessons in here about what it means to be a leader and life. And I think it'll inspire kids patriotism and finding a purpose and overcoming challenges, which, let's face it, I mean, this generation, whether their parents are biological or not, this is something that all kids this age, I think, need. And that understanding of perseverance. You know, there was even just the other day, Patrick had a thing where he was complaining about making, you know, just some basic housework, and I said, "Buddy, you're not storming the beaches of Normandy here. You know, pick up a freaking vacuum and do the work." I mean, but we don't want a soft generation here, so that aspect of it too matters a lot.
No, and again, pulling on many items there, I do want to put a plug in and give thanks to, I think, the gentleman who connected us, and that was a former neighbor of mine, Jim Cruz.
Yes,
that should ring with you. Yeah, Jim. So Jim and his family came down just south of us in Melbourne, down in Fort Pierce. There's an annual muster at the UDT Steel Museum annually where there's capabilities exercise. And I, with Helena and our Ways for Life, which are all the monies go to if anybody purchases the book, that was the intent, Ways for Life here out of Melbourne. They're an adoption agency. We launched this at the muster. And I couldn't believe the amount of folks and the stories that were shared. Because, again, in my mind, I'm not a big social media dude. I don't try to go after tremendous accolades. I appreciate this publicly and wanting to discuss this topic. But the folks that generated conversations from of individuals that they knew who were adopted and trials and tribulations and just that what seemed to be the nucleus around that conversation was – there's not really forums to discuss. Mm-hmm. It divests to the cost, right? And again, I think, you know, some have done research, right? It's cheaper to go outside the United States. I looked at statistics the other day. I can't believe how many thousands of children still need adoption. And here in our own country, here in our backyard. And the awareness piece, but then to give, again, credit back to Elena for kicking this off. We were also looking for the third in the series, and that came from the muster. There was a family there, and their story meant so much hearing it. Elena, the co-author, but I got to give her more credit, man. I'm square peg round hole stuff. I'm grateful for autocorrect. Elena is the mastermind behind this for that demographic. She found her third series that she's currently working and researching to do. So that's where the pay it forward mentality of Naval Special Warfare comes from. And I think just, you know, bigger for service and publicly to you, if there's any engagement I can help or chat with your family or any one of your listeners, I'm willing to do that. It just, there's no perfect way. I think it comes down to that family dynamic, interpretively, of transparency and truly saving a life, right? I mean, my biological parents probably had options at that point. Mm-hmm. I wasn't around to know those options, but they chose the option, in my opinion, a selfless act of giving life and an adoption. And again, going back to Charles and Diane, the only two parents I've ever known, I recall, the last couple of years of my father's life, having some very hard conversations, and he said I was the only child he ever wanted. Right. And I do have a sister. I got to put a plug in for her, who was adopted from another biological family. And he shared, why they couldn't have biological, but in his mind, my sister and I were his blood.
What you just said is awesome to hear, my friend. It really is. It's great. And I would also echo that my kids are, the world to me. They mean the world to me. And their birth mothers are heroes, in my opinion, because while I don't know Patrick's birth mom, we don't know his birth father. I just know that, his birth mom certainly had options. We know Claire's birth mother. I think they're both selfless heroes. I really do. They gave life. They didn't have the circumstances. It's why we never say to give up a child. They didn't give up a child. They chose to place a child with a loving family who thought, at least at the time, they couldn't have biological kids of their own, or biological kids, I should say. And then, they gave that kid a great start and a great life. They did that out of love. And I think that is something that's really important for people to know. And so whenever anybody ever says, you were given up, or she gave you up, or no, we didn't give the kid up at all. Gave this child a start with a loving family who really wanted to be a mom and dad. And, we always say that to Patrick, too. You made us a mom and dad, and we love that, buddy. We love that so much. And we also, whenever we write our letter to his birth mother and send pictures, we always say the same thing. Thank you for making us parents. Thank you for being so selfless. Thank you for deciding to put this little boy, first in into the world. And that means everything, because there are a lot of other options. I even remember too, at the time we were going through it with the social workers and just thinking, my God, how many people out there want to be parents and can't, and then choose to go down this road? And sometimes it's also paved with heartbreak. Before we adopted Patrick, we had we were going down the road of adopting another child. And after Bridget cut the umbilical cord, she changed her mind and decided to, parent the child. And that was tough on us, But parents also lose biological kids in the course of childbirth. So, I mean, that's life. Life has challenges. And I look back on it now and say, thank God that happened, because obviously Patrick was destined to be our son, and had it worked out the other way, he wouldn't be. So there is a beauty to all this too, as complicated and as it is. And I always say to people, listen, you can always reach out to me for advice, always reach out to me for ideas. I'm happy to help. We used a great adoption agency in South Jersey called Adoptions from the Heart, and one in Utah called A Act of Love. And they were both wonderful in helping us with the process. And, both of our kids are born in the United States of America. But yeah, you're right. It can also be expensive. I'll give a shout out to an organization that's out there, which is called HelpUsAdopt.org, which helps parents come up with the money that they need, because it is an expensive process. And there's a lot of government bureaucracy involved with it, which is something I hope they can streamline at some point. There is a big expense. But HelpUsAdopt.org does help people come up with the funds they need to be able to adopt the child. And that's also something really special. Well, Doug, I commend you on writing the book. I really do. How can people buy the book? And especially knowing that it goes to such a great cause. And I know we'd love to support you and do everything we can to help. And it's a great read. Like I said, for kids, this is a quick read, but a very important read. How can we get the book?
It's literally Amazon. I mean, okay. Again, I just want to reiterate the zero expectation of this, zero goal. It was a motivation from Elena, and just hearing her adaptation and overcoming story and where she's at today and what she does, I was motivated. And, mm-hmm. and never had an inkling that somebody would even want to hear about this. Because again, you're putting, as you alluded to, the pictures, right? I mean, and then today's ability to track things down, you're putting stuff out there. I mean, my family, some of them are a bit hesitant, right? As they've taken another pass, but I hope it creates conversation and creates opportunity to have the discussions. And I was fortunate. I have since had conversations with folks who were adopted and chose the path of pursuing their biological parents. And I'll just say they were shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. At what they found out, right? So again, if that is the individual path, my individual path was, I gave credence to their choices. But Charles and Diane were the only two that were the constant as mother and father figures to me. And yes, there's a bit of, biological curiosity. God help this world if there's another, bald dude with a beard running around and doing something else. or just as a intriguing a sister. Yeah, there's a bit of intrigue, but not enough for me, in my words, to disrespect Charles and Diane, who did everything and then some for me. So, but again, giving respect to the biological as well, 53 years, 54 years ago, and they're obviously doing what's currently on their path. So this was truly more than I expected, Rich. You got a new listener. I'm anxious to hear some of the forthcoming cast you got coming up and characters. And truly want to thank thank you for your time and the opportunity to discuss adoption.
You kidding me, man? Thank you. Thank you for your service. Yeah. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for stepping up. Thank you for going into the Navy. Thank you for kicking ass. And I really appreciate it. Special Warfare, an adoption story, a story about Doug Vanderford's adoption and life purpose that led him to Navy's Special Warfare Combatant Craft Crewman. This is a great book for your kids and inspirational. And I think all families, because family is family, bottom line, no matter whether it's blood or not, family is family. So this book, I highly recommend it. Go to Amazon.com and grab a copy. Special Warfare, an adoption story. Doug, I salute you, buddy. Thank you very much for making the time today. God bless you, brother.
Be safe, sir.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.